Hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Equipped. I'm Cody Balch, and we're going to continue through the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 2. So if you're just joining us, that's okay. The Word of God is still alive and active and ready to meet you in places that you need. But man, you can journey along with us. I've done the book of Ephesians, done Philippians, and we're continuing through the book of Philippians, just coming off of one of the most poetic and potent verses about the character and the nature of Jesus himself. And that's understating it a lot. I covered that in the last episode. But we're in chapter 2, starting in verse 12. And so a lot of that, you know, just like anything, you know, what precedes it always enlightens what is about to be said. And especially when it starts with a word like therefore, okay? Because in light of what he's just said about the very nature of Jesus being the nature of God, but not considering equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he humbled himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's, again, that's paraphrasing. There's a lot more in there than that. I mean, it's like in light of what Jesus has done, we get to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and it says, therefore, in light of what Jesus has done, in light of who he is, in light of how this is all going to end, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over all to the glory of the Father. Listen, then we need to say, in light of that, therefore, he starts today's section saying, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Okay, so for instance, my children, I'm so grateful when they obey, not just like dutifully, but when they're making the right choices. I'm so grateful that when they do that in my presence. But you know what makes me super thrilled is when they're at school or they're at grandma or grandpa's house or somebody else's care, and I get a report that they were obedient, that they were respectful and kind and making good choices. Man, that makes my heart, like, that's so much more potent because I'm not there to like micromanage all of that. I'm a completely part of it. The worst thing can happen and I'm not there to see it or step in that moment. And when you find out, hey, I wasn't there and they're still making good choices, that is a huge win for a parent. And so much more with Paul, you know, the spiritual father over these converts, these churches that he's helped start, and how much more our Heavenly Father for us, that even when Jesus removed his fleshly presence and gave us his spirit, that we still make great choices even while he isn't physically here with us. He is here literally in spirit, living inside of his people. Now, he says this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Probably near the top, you know, it's in that top echelon of verses that can be easily taken out of context and misunderstood. Now, I'm going to explain it. It's not that hard to understand, but I just want to give some advice. Whenever you're reading scripture and you get to a verse or a passage, particularly a verse that just doesn't make sense, first of all, just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it's not true. Just means it might not make sense to you or you may not understand it. It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God and it's not there for a reason. But secondly, if you read a verse that doesn't immediately make sense to you, about 98% of the time, you just need to read the verse after it or read it in context with the verse before it and the verse after it. A lot of times it's just taken out of context with the whole of what is being said and kind of, you know, isolated out and then interpreted in a vacuum of isolation that is never healthy. And so I'm going to circle back and dive into it, but I want to read it in context with what comes after. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, if you're really new to this, that may not immediately be answering all your questions. So let's dive into it. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What can hit our ears quickly that would be, I believe, a not healthy interpretation is that we need to piece together and figure out how to come up with salvation, and we need to be fearful and trembling in the process. That we need to be afraid because if we don't get it just right, if we don't get all the pieces to fit together just perfectly, then we're not going to get that salvation. We need to have fear and trembling that we are on the edge of not receiving salvation, that we're going to lose our salvation. And it's just like all this nonsense. I can't find anything in scripture to really back that up with any true interpretations of all the other passages we have. Okay. What he's saying is, in light of what God has done and the salvation that he has offered to you, work out the implications of your salvation. Work out the effects of God rescuing you from sin and death and darkness and inviting you into eternal life. He says there are implications. Live out the implications of your salvation with fear and trembling, with this healthy fear of the Lord, that it is he who works in you, that it is him who desires to work and to act to accomplish his will through your life. That he didn't just save you simply to give you eternal life, but he saved you and called you out of the darkness into the light in order to be a beacon of light and hope to the world around you. So work out every day, work out the implications of your salvation with fear and trembling, with sober minds, with grateful hearts, with understanding the God who saved you is the creator of the universe and the one who's able to save your soul, and also the one who is able to destroy or allow destruction to come upon those who aren't really under the lordship of Christ. Scripture definitely makes it clear that it is only God who saves through his grace. It is by grace we are saved through faith. Okay, let's not confuse that ever. But it also makes clear that true saving faith will bear fruit. That true saving faith, a belief that is not just a head knowledge, but really a belief that trusts God and surrenders to him as Lord, will be a transformative faith and salvation, a belief that is transformative to make us more and more year by year, month by month, into the image and character of our Savior Jesus. That true salvation doesn't leave us the same. It is not just a justifying salvation, but it is also a sanctifying salvation, a transformative salvation. And so we need to work out I'll say it just like it says it. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Does that describe your walk with Jesus? Does that describe your faith journey so far? Does it describe your heart posture now? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He knows how to take care of salvation. He's inviting you. He's asking you if you'll be obedient to allow him to be Lord over everything in your life, to will and to act through you to accomplish his good purpose, his will and good purpose. I think that's exciting. I don't think that's something that we need to be terrified in a bad way. I think it's something that we shouldn't take lightly, and we should take seriously every day we wake up, that we should know our purpose and we should know the Lord in whom we serve. And I think that's significant. Okay. So let's continue in verse 14. We're going to 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 right there. And we're going to end there in verse 18. He says this, do everything. Okay. We still talk about how are you working out the implications of your salvation? Do everything. What does this look like? What does that mean? He's going to give you a few examples. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Okay. Other versions may say without grumbling or complaining, without even grumbling and asking questions, questioning everything, questioning why God is doing this, questioning. It's like, listen, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Verse 15, so that you may become blameless and pure. Not perfect, just blameless and pure. And then children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Okay, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5 there. Okay, so we got to go back in our minds here into the wilderness, okay, where they were a crooked and perverse generation, warped in their minds. They came out of Egypt from slavery. God had rescued them miraculously, and yet they continually grumbled and argued and complained the entire time. Were never grateful. Really, truly, just never seemed to show much gratitude, if you really look at it. And ultimately, that generation said, you will not be allowed to inherit the promised land that I promised your ancestor Abraham that his descendants would inherit, but it'll be for your future generation. It'll be for your children and their children to inherit this land. But this warped and crooked generation, that's what he's drawing from in this Deuteronomy kind of motif here. So he says, no, I want you to not be like them. And I want you to be pure and blameless without fault within a warped and crooked generation that you might live in, and you do, and we do. And he goes on and says it, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Okay, so he has this stars. Okay, stars, we understand scientifically, are massive. They're all of various sizes, but they're not teeny tiny little things. They're just really far away. But in the sky, from our perspective, they are teeny tiny little bright lights. But boy, do they pierce the darkness, don't they? If there's nothing covering them up, then we can see a bright light, a star shining in the night sky. And there's a contrast where it just beams with this light. It pierces the darkness. And if we live in a crooked and perverse generation, a twisted, and perverse generation, not living the way of this world, you will stand out. Then you will shine like the stars. You will shine among them like stars in the sky. How? As you hold firmly, as you don't compromise, as you stop living to the pattern of this world, instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind and the patterns of your mind, then you will shine like stars, holding firmly to the word of life. And then he says, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. He's saying, I'm investing all of this prayer and time and persecution into helping people just like you receive the knowledge, the transformative knowledge of salvation for your life, and that you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore and look just like the rest of the world, that you can look different. You can live differently What a beautiful invitation. He says, I don't want to do this in vain, but he qualifies it at the end. He says, but even if whatever happens, like, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, regardless of whether you stand firm or not. I know the Lord that I serve. He says, verse 17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He's saying, this is all worth it. It's all worth it. Even if I can't control or guarantee everyone who's going to stay in the faith, who's really going to grab hold of it and stand firm and remain firm in the faith, I know that my purpose, there's no greater purpose in this life than to hold to the truth of Jesus Christ and to help encourage and build up the body of Christ in these ways. He says, this is worth it, because I know that on the day of Christ, those who have held firm and have not compromised, and they've not bowed to the idols of this world, but they are truly putting Jesus as the Lord over their heart and their life, their actions, and they are surrendering each day as best as they know how to let Jesus live out through them. He says, oh, brings me such joy. I'm so glad to be used in that way, to encourage people who have desirous hearts, who have ears to hear and eyes to see who Jesus really is, that I'm helping, that I'm able to invest to help them work out their salvation with fear and trembling, so that God can use them like he's using me, Paul says, so God can use them to will and to act according to his good purpose, to fulfill his will for their lives, and so that the glory of God may be manifest through your life. I think that's such purpose. Do you have that purpose in your life? Paul is talking about that. So are you desirous to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Do you want God, his will, to work through you, that he can act through you to accomplish his good purposes? Do you desire to be pure and blameless without fault in a warped and crooked generation, that you can shine like the stars in the night sky, that you can stand out, that you can be holy, different, set apart, peculiar, if I said that right, that you can be a different type of person, that you can be a citizen of heaven and not acting just like the rest of humanity? We are humans. We need saved from the fallenness of our humanity and our sin and rebellion. But God's grace is sufficient. But what are you aiming at? Are you just surrendering to your flesh, or are you desirous? Are you focused and desirous to let God transform you and work through you? And so I just want to encourage you with that today. I hope it equips you better in your mind, in your heart, to really think about how you're living, and are you living in a way that is allowing your salvation to live out the beautiful implications of that? So I pray that you'll continue to work out the beautiful implications of your salvation with fear and trembling, with a healthy fear of the Lord and who he is. He is an all-consuming fire, that fire is something that is such a beautiful thing that we don't have to be terrified of in a bad way, but that we must be in reverent awe of every minute of the day that we get to serve that God. How incredible. So listen, I hope this has encouraged and equipped you with the grace and truth of Jesus. And if you have any questions, reach out to me at betterequippedwithcody@gmail.com. You can always go to betterequipped.net and you can find more resources there. You can get in touch with me. Let me know if I can encourage you or be praying for you in any specific ways. And I hope that you'll join us on the next episode.